This is a Clark University podcast.
Hi, my name is Jeff Noe, and I work in the English department at Clark. The sentence that I chose today comes from Jamaica Kincaid's book-length essay, A Small Place. This sentence, which is very long, comes from just about the very beginning of the work. Kincaid places a reader in the position of the tourist who's descending on St. John's, Antigua. As your plane descends to land, you might say, what a beautiful island Antigua is. More beautiful than any of the other islands you have seen. And they were very beautiful in their way, but they were much too green, much too lush with vegetation, which indicated to you, the tourist, that they got quite a bit of rainfall. And rain is the very thing that you, just now, do not want. For you are thinking of the hard and cold and dark and long days you spent working in North America, or worse, Europe. Earning some money so that you could stay in this place, Antigua, where the sun always shines and where the climate is deliciously hot and dry for the 4 to 10 days you are going to be staying there. And since you are on your holiday, since you are a tourist, the thought of what it might be like for someone who had to live day in, day out in a place that suffers constantly from drought, and so has to watch carefully every drop of fresh water used, while at the same time surrounded by a sea and an ocean, the Caribbean Sea on one side, the Atlantic Ocean on the other, must never cross your mind.
Sentences are the bones of a book, simple or compound, declarative or exclamatory. Without the humble sentence, we have no vehicle to share our stories. But what makes a good sentence? A great one? In search of an answer, Challenge Change has asked English professor Jeff Noe and some of his creative writing students, among the first to graduate with this newly added major, to share their favorite sentences and explain what makes the structures so special.
Kincaid is a real master at elongating the thought. Showing us like the thought that's not spoken out loud in normal life. If you look at the sentence on the page, it's actually like a pretty short, mundane sentence that kind of has a false ending, and it just kind of unspools all this kind of hidden thought that kind of lies in this kind of really mundane or ordinary kind of statement, what a beautiful island Antigua is. There are all these parentheses that Kincaid uses. There are so many commas in the sentence. I counted before I came here. There are 22 of them, 22 commas. I'm really kind of delighted by how Kincaid uses the sentence as this kind of unit of composition. This is one sentence, but it's a sentence that contains multiple time zones, right? We're in North America, Europe, in Antigua, in these other kind of unnamed islands in the tourist's kind of mind as they descend on the airplane. One of the things I always think about when I think about the sentence is the way Kincaid explores the tension between the you, right, who is the reader of the book, and also the figure of the tourist. There's kind of this back and forth between the second and third person. It's always interesting to me. Some people will, identify more with the tourist. Other people will identify more with someone who's from an area that is a tourist attraction. But, whatever the case, this book does something really interesting, which is that it kind of places the reader in the position of the tourist. One of the challenging and kind of interesting things about this book is that it makes the reader kind of feel uncomfortable. This is a work that encourages us to explore the ethics of tourism. It's one of my very favorite sentences to, read, to teach, to talk about, and that's why I brought it.
We often speak about how reading takes you places, new corners of the globe, even fantasy realms. A string of words can transcend physical boundaries. In just one sentence, Jamaica Kincaid makes a reader feel as if the globe is spread out before their eyes.
Some writers certainly are obsessed with the sentence and really kind of think about the sentence as an enormous kind of capacious kind of thing. But I think it's more the case that we think of sentences in their relationship to other sentences. A sentence is more often like a temporary place. It's like a place that you visit on your way to the next sentence. Jamaica Kincaid is a writer who works quite intensively with the sentence. Her writing is filled with really incredible sentences that do all kinds of different things. She'll often have this kind of pyrotechnical kind of sentence that's kind of dropped in that appears at exactly the right moment of the narrative. Getting lost in her clauses and in the parentheses, you kind of see a picture of the world. You see a picture of the global system that Kincaid is charting out, you know, in this one unit of writing.
I'm Melissa Hansen, a producer in Clark's communications office, and this is Challenge Change.
I find that Clark's student writers are super adventurous, and they take risks in writing about the multiplicities of their experiences. Breaking the rules, daring to be unconventional and original and strange and just weird, that's the kind of advice that I think is most valuable. I think the hardest thing about teaching writing is finding time to slow down, read writing really carefully, and kind of look at language. I think so much of our daily lives is kind of organized to make it difficult to sit down and think about language as art, think about books as something that kind of deserves careful attention. It's something that I struggle with as a professor.
Kaylee Gibbons fell in love with writing when she realized its potential. Prose helped her to explore inner turmoil and connect with her surroundings. It's fitting that one of her favorite sentences comes from an essay titled Why I Write.
I'm Kaylee Gibbons, and I am one of the two people graduating with a creative writing major this spring 2024. The quote I chose is by Joan Didion, and it's from her essay Why I Write, which was published December 5th, 1976, on page 270 of the New York Times edition. I write entirely to find out what I'm thinking, what I'm looking at, what I see, and what it means. I write entirely to find out what I'm thinking, what I'm looking at, what I see, and what it means. I first read this when I was 17, and it was my summer before my senior year of high school. During that time period, I was struggling a lot, and I was turning to writing, and I found a lot of peace within writing. I think it became that space for me to communicate with myself, my surroundings, but also what I was struggling with. I write entirely to find out what I'm thinking, what I'm looking at, what I see, and what it means. I think for me, the word entirely in this quote has always stood out to me. I think the word entirely conveys the idea that writers and authors engage in writing for the purpose of discovering their thoughts, observations, perceptions. And I think the word also implies a deep sense of dedication or commitment to the process of self-discovery through writing. For me, it's that desire to delve into the depth of my own consciousness, my fictional character's consciousness, in order to discover those truths and insights. I write entirely to find out what I'm thinking, what I'm looking at, what I see, and what it means.
For Juliana Hall, another senior creative writing major, a beautiful sentence is short, blunt, powerful. It's a contrast to Jeff's choice of Jamaica Kincaid's meandering prose.
I read This Is How You Lose the Time War in 2 days, and I was absolutely entranced by the narrative and the prose that verges on poetry most times. As soon as I closed the book, I wanted to reread it immediately. There was really something magical in reading this book, and it's just stuck with me since that first reading, and I always am filled with a desire to open it up again and reread. At the point in the book that this quote comes, Red and Blue, the main characters, have been sending letters back and forth through time for a while, but this comes at a really significant moment in the novel where they realize that despite being on these two opposite sides of a war in this dystopian world, their relationship transcends their positions as agents. This quote is from This Is How You Lose the Time War by Amala El-Motar and Max Gladstone, page 142. I want to meet you in every place I have loved. I want to meet you in every place I have loved. Knowing and loving someone so much that you want to show them the places that you love is something really special. It made me think of my own forms of showing love too, and how I often do that by sharing my work with people and by bringing them to places that I love as well, especially bookstores and cafes. Both characters know that it's an impossibility for them to see the places that they love together, but they can meet each other there through their letters, and that's what they do have. And something as simple as showing someone the places that shaped you and that you love is shockingly intimate and special. During the spring semester before I read this book, I had read On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous, which is similarly an epistolary novel. I think Ocean Vuong's writing is just beautiful, and maybe I was subconsciously seeking something similar out when I picked up this title was The Time War, but my appreciation for Vuong's work definitely informed my love for this work as well.
Jeff, too, finds beauty and skill in a short sentence. In this selection, the story's title is longer than the text of the story itself.
Lydia Davis is a short story writer. Her pieces are frequently very short. This one's one sentence long. It's a short story called Example of the Continuing Past Tense in a Hotel Room from her collection Varieties of Disturbance. Your housekeeper has been Shelley. That's the whole sentence. I think of this piece as being kind of a companion to the Kincaid sentence, in that these are two works that are thinking about transitory spaces, you know, tourism, travel. Kincaid kind of unspools like the hidden kind of unseen side of travel. Lydia Davis only shows us that first part. Your housekeeper has been Shelley. I think this is a story that kind of makes us think about all the kind of unseen, hidden labor that makes staying in a hotel room possible. For people who want to look at this story on the page, you'll see that has been, the verb, is italicized. Davis, I think, is making us look at what grammar does in kind of orienting us in time and thinking about, the thing that happened before you got there to make your experience possible. Your housekeeper has been Shelley. Yeah, it's such an interesting kind of disorienting story that's contained just in 5 words.
Do you have a favorite sentence? We'd love to hear it. Feel free to shoot us an email. Challenge Change is produced by Andrew Hart and Melissa Hansen for Clark University. Find other episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. That's a wrap on Season 5. We'll be back next month with highlights from commencement. TTYL.
1, 2, 3.
Clark!
This is a special shout out to Andrew Hart, the creator of this podcast. Season 5 is Andrew's last with Challenge Change, but I know he is moving on to new projects that will challenge convention and change our world. Thank you so much for being a great partner in telling the Clark story.